Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Time, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the blah 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 to my blah blah blah. So blah blah blah, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Not too badly this early March.
It's early March. We did it. We made it to March.
We did, and we got the power back.
You had no power?
For several hours due to the horrific windstorms of yesterday.
Oh, that's pretty weak. A lot of wind here. Never lost power.
Got a bit brisk with the wind yesterday.
Quiske. Would you say it's as brisk as a can of Lipton iced tea?
It was close to being as brisk as a can of Lipton iced tea, which I believe is Zane Paisley's favorite iced tea.
Hmm. That's sad if true.
Well, like he could have worse choices.
Like, what?
Well, what if he went for one of those Honest Tea white iced teas? Those aren't the best.
Yes, that's to make a good argument. You always do.
You can't defeat me on a tea argument. You just can't.
Well, I bet I could.
Yeah, I'm thinking not so much.
Watch me defeat you. The best kind of tea is, mushroom tea.
I don't think that's even such a thing.
It is. It's the type of tea that's made from psychedelic mushrooms, where they take the mushrooms, they boil it in some way, they make a tea, and then they drink it and enjoy their psychedelic trips from it.
And this is an iced tea that's in a can.
No, I just said I could defeat you in a tea conversation. I didn't say I was going to... Someone somewhere might brew it in cans. Some sort of backwoods goon. I don't know.
Well, I don't think Zane Paisley would purchase such a tee.
I don't think he would either. You're probably correct there. You're probably correct there.
And I think he could do much worse than Lipton. He could get one of those honest tees, the white tee variety. Not a big fan of it. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So,
He could get, like, the gimmicked up mango green tea from Arizona.
Ew.
Not a big fan of that also. Not a big fan.
That just sounds like a bad decision.
I thought it was. Now, some of the Arizonas are delightful.
Yeah.
That one is not.
Well, what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler these days, sign guy?
Well, the scuttlebutt is the Fabulous Freebirds are finally going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame after like 10 years of Mean Gene Okerlund mistakenly saying that to Michael Hayes and Michael Hayes having to correct him and get all mad.
What's interesting about it is that they are going to put a verified racist covered in rebel flag imagery into the Hall of Fame at the same point they have suspended an African-American wrestler for touching a fella.
I don't think one has to do with the other, though.
Perhaps it does. Perhaps it does.
Are you saying Titus O'Neil would have blocked the Freebirds' entry into the Hall of Fame had he not been suspended?
No. I think it is very telling of why there has never been a lot of successful African-American wrestlers in the World Wrestling Federation.
What about The Rock?
What about him?
He was pretty successful.
Yeah. Is he a fully African-American gentleman?
I believe he considers himself to be.
So he does not consider himself a part of his Samoan family?
He does. He considers himself both.
Okay, name another one.
Mark Henry.
He has certainly been a success.
Former world heavyweight champion, 20-year career, I'd say so.
You know who else is a former world heavyweight champion?
The great Khali.
Jack Swagger.
Yes.
Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
And those are all, like, probably better champions than Mark Henry. Let's discuss Vince McMahon's racism. I think it's important. I think it's about time someone finally brought it up. I think it's time.
Is this going to be a parallel to Beast Barnett and his racism, which was discussed on Debashi's radio takedown at some point?
Yes.
Okay.
Who do you think is more racist, Vince McMahon or David Barnett?
Beast.
Yeah, I agree. I heard him say some things that are just, whew. Whew. They are just, whew. You know?
It broke your internet.
It did. It broke my intranets. Man, I just don't know what to do with this Beast fella. What do you think?
I don't know, because Debashi was for words on Debashi's radio takedown, which in fact is not $9.99. It's always free.
Always free. Excellent, excellent news. So what else is going on? We've discussed the racism, I feel. Anything else?
Not a lot outside of the horrific windstorm of yesterday. I believe they had to close the floating bridges.
Oh, you have floating bridges?
We have multiple floating bridges in the Puget Sound.
Wow, floating bridges, huh?
Yes, you have the Ship Canal, you have the 520, and you have the Tacoma Narrows.
Hmm. Interesting.
And of course, the Tacoma Narrows original bridge didn't hold up so well in the wind. It went tumbling down after a horrific windstorm.
Kind of like London Bridge. It's just falling down.
It did, but they rebuilt it with a much more sound architectural structure. It's fine. Although you can still get blown from one lane to the next with a good gust of wind if you're driving across it.
Yes. Well, be wary of that, listeners. Be wary. Be very, very wary. Oh, I'm sitting here. I'm messing around on my WWE 2K16 game a little bit. I've been creating one roster. Your main WWE stars. Been creating one roster. Your main NXT stars. And creating one roster of classic WCW stars.
Is Kendall Windham in it?
He was my friend on Facebook, and then he kept posting horribly racist things. So I said, no thanks, Kendall Windham. So no, he is not. I did start his first official fan club on the internet, as we've discussed, so I feel bad for knowing what a horrid, horrid racist he is. You know who else likes to post horrible racist things on Facebook? Besides
Beast Barnett?
Besides Beast Barnett? Goldust.
Well, he's probably just angry with the whole R-Truth not wanting to partner up with him.
Do you think he wants to partner up? Is that his way of framing it as have a slave?
Yeah, I would think not. Or otherwise you would have just said that.
Maybe he's afraid to say it in 2016 America, but maybe he won't be afraid to say it in Trump's America. I don't know what's going on. I think pretty excited for Sean McMahon? Sean McMahon? Who's that guy that's
No. Sean Critney.
He's the one wrestling The Undertaker?
No, that's Shane McMahon.
No, Sean McMahon, yeah.
No. Shane McMahon. You're confusing Shane McMahon and Sean Critney. It's probably a pretty common mistake.
It is. They're about the same size. They have about the same levels of talent in wrestling. Probably about the same amount of training. How excited are you for that match, Sign Guy?
I would say moderately. Because I want to see how they bring in that cell, because they can't lower it from the ceiling, because I don't believe the stadium has a ceiling.
This is a good point that I hadn't pondered.
Huh. It pondered me the second they announced it. I said, but there's no ceiling from which
now,
to lower it.
Wait, perhaps it will some way be affixed to that giant Tron they have. You know, there's that enormous Tron.
I don't think that Trons are designed to hold something that heavy. That was the problem they had for the Elimination Chamber. There were so few arenas in the entire country that could physically hold the chamber in place from their Tron that they couldn't keep doing the pay-per-views.
Perhaps they will build, you know, like they've built these wacky lighting rigs in years past. One was like palm trees in Miami and such, and perhaps it'll be something of that nature.
My theory, and it's only a theory, I have no inside knowledge, they'll probably go to like a 45-minute backstage skit, commercial, video loop.
Well, you know what,
while
though?
They build the thing.
It could be the good times when they do their stupid little bullshit concerts they always do of musicians no one's ever heard of.
That's what I'm thinking. They'll just go into 45 minutes of that while they build it. Kind of like back in the late 80s when they would have to do intermissions while they built a cage if they were doing one on a pay-per-view or a Saturday night's main event.
So perhaps not as well. Perhaps
that's the main
not.
Thing I'm looking forward to seeing how they solve that issue.
Yeah. We are on our way to finding out. We are, what, exactly a month away? Is it the 2nd or the 3rd?
I believe it's April 3rd, so just a pinch over a month.
Maybe we could take a contest. How will they lower... Perhaps, have we thought of this? They will just construct a ring on top of a Hell of a Cell. Then, when it's time for the Hell in the Cell, they will just raise it out of the ground where there's another ring. Perhaps it's a platform, but the platform, and it'll end up with something looking like that, WCW 3-layer thing?
I don't think they could get away with that. It would damage the field so badly that there's no way that people would agree to it.
Jerry Jones will do anything for money.
I don't think he would take that kind of damage, though.
I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Just on a normal WrestleMania, like the last several years... Whenever they leave, it takes a couple of weeks to get the stadium back to how they need it to be. Like when they were in Safeco Field, it took them a couple of weeks to be able to play a baseball game there because it takes a lot of work to get the field back in condition after all the equipment and staging that they have to put on the field itself.
Well, this field is only used for football, so they would have until... probably August to get it ready, I believe. So maybe they will dig an enormous hole underground to store. I mean, they could shoot up like Rey Mysterio. It could be like, booyaka, booyaka, and the Hell in a Cell springs out. Or like the Brood, just, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And it raises up out of the ground with hellfire. It's Hell in a Cell. I think I've solved it.
Possibly.
Possibly not. Now, what else do we have for WrestleMania confirmed? Triple H and Roman Reigns, probably.
That seems likely.
But there is that Triple H versus Dean Ambrose title match at WWE Roadblock coming up. What are your thoughts on this?
I wonder if that guy Roadblock that was on WCW Saturday Night and Nitro in the mid-90s will be there.
Or the G.I. Joe character.
That would be even better.
That would be way better. I loved Roadblock. He was one of... He was good buddies with Sergeant Slaughter.
He really was.
Oh, Roadblock. Let's see, what else? WrestleMania.
You have Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar.
Again, allegedly, hinging on what happens in this Roadblock match.
They never said that the street fight was in jeopardy of not going down.
This is true, because we could still have Roman versus Triple H, just non-title, and we could have Dean versus Brock for the title.
Exactly.
It's a good point. It's a good point. There's going to be some sort of broad match. That'll be something that everyone will collectively take a restroom break to. There's supposed to be something with that goof Stardust and then that goof guy from the TV show.
Which one? There's a lot of them.
The one that was the goof before. He's like the Green Hornet or something.
You mean Arrow?
Yeah, the Green Arrow.
Stephen A. Mel.
Yeah, supposedly he's going to be around. They set something up with him at thing. What else?
I think that's pretty much all that's been announced to the masses at this point.
Well, do you think AJ Styles and Y2J will be wrestling for the tag titles? Or do you think there will be some sort of heel turn between the two of them and then they'll have another match no one cares about?
Yeah, I'm going to guess they'll probably be in some sort of tag match.
All right. Any surprises that you think are on the horizon?
Well, yeah, because we'll be surprised how they do the cell.
No, I've already established how they're going to do the cell. There's no surprise.
But it's
there.
A contest to determine how it will happen.
Yeah,
so
but
there could be multiple ways.
No, I already won the contest.
Oh, so you already had inside information, did you? Like your last contest with the free burritos.
Is this going to be the least interesting WrestleMania in years, do you think?
It's hard to say because you never can tell. Some of them you think are going to be great and they're a little flat. Some of them you think are going to be flat and they're better than expected.
Now, are you more excited for WrestleMania or are you more excited for the TakeOver event the night before featuring Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura?
I'm generally more excited for the Hall of Fame, usually, the last couple of times.
Yes, but I didn't ask you that.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I usually try not to go in with too much expectations, and I just go in prepared to watch it. Otherwise, it just ruins the viewing experience, I think.
Evolve also named some good WrestleMania weekend matches. Let's see if I can find those real quick. I think one is... What is it? Is it, oh, here we go. Oh, there it is. Will Ospreay, New Japan star on the rise, versus Ricochet is one they've announced. What do you think of that one?
That should be fairly good. Ricochet, one of the better independents you'll find.
Yeah, and Will Ospreay, he's one of the up-and-coming young cats that everyone's very excited about. Oh, yeah, we got a show to talk about. Why don't you hit that music? Episode of Total Divas, we watch, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene will feature Sign Guy as TJ Tyson Kidd Wilson Neidhart, and I shall be Natalia Wilson Neidhart Wilson Neidhart. And scene. TJ, I don't want to be arguing with you over such stupid things.
Okay, then let's not.
You got so hostile!
No, I wasn't at all hostile. I don't...
Second?
I physically can't get hostile right now.
I feel like you were so quick to...
Yeah, I wouldn't change my last name.
You wouldn't change your last name. Why the hell would I want to change mine? All I'm saying is the world is changing. Who cares if I get my name changed? You get your name changed.
The difference is my balls would be in your purse. I would love for you to take my last name. Just know I'm not changing mine.
And... scene. Sign Guy, what was this?
Well, this was a scene where Natalia and TJ are driving home from lunch with Anvil and Ellie, and they've been arguing over Natty changing her last name to Wilson, despite the fact I went back and watched their wedding episode way back in season number one, so 3-ish years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm now Natalia Neidhart Wilson, Miss Wilson to you. So she'd already changed it, but 3 years later she'd forgotten that. Completely had forgotten. And I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but Rex was supposed to get me the name of the episode to watch so I could verify when she went to the hotel and checked in under the name of Wilson. But I wasn't able to check because someone didn't send me the name of the episode. But I believe just in the last few episodes, she actually checked into a hotel under the name of Wilson, but she forgot this. And so they were arguing. And she's like, well, you should change your last name to Neidhart. And he's like, well, I'm not changing my name because you changed your name to Wilson years ago. And so we're going to just keep it like that.
Mm.
And Addie's like, oh, you're being so hostile. And TJ hostily said he wasn't hostile at all because he was physically unable. You don't have to physically be hostile necessarily. You could be emotionally hostile. Could be verbally hostile. He was a couple of those things. But he didn't think, since he was smacking his wife around, that he was being hostile. But he was a little bit, being a little verbally hostile.
A little verbally hostile. Well, I assume, perhaps I'm out of line, that your number one was Natty, correct?
Are we talking most liked or most disliked?
Most liked. You liked her the most, right?
That is incorrect.
All right, go into it. Go into Natty.
Well, I had Natty on my number one dislike this week.
I am shocked.
I'm sure you are. 95% of it stems from the fact she forgot she changed her last name when she was first married. 3 years ago. Completely slipped her mind. And she's like, oh, I forgot to do that. I've been busy. When later in the episode she said, I've not been doing anything. It feels like I haven't even wrestled in 10 years. So she says she's not been doing a thing. Seconds after she said, oh, I've been too busy to go change my last name.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it? Which is it?
Now.
And I'm not even going to go into the weird exercise thing that was freaking out Anvil and Ellie.
Yeah. No, I want to go into that. That is why Jim Neidhart was my favorite this week. One of the reasons. That machine that he said, try to ride a bucking Bronco, as he's riding this weird vibrator machine where they keep telling him, just squat on it. Just squat down on this vibrator. Just squat on it, Jim. Squat on the vibrator. And he's, I don't get it. And so then his wife's like, I'll show you how to squat on this vibrator, by golly. He's like, golly? I haven't heard anyone say golly in 30 years. And she's like, I haven't heard anyone give me an orgasm in 30 years. Thank you, this vibrating Bronco machine. That was that segment.
Yeah, but Natty just runs up to the thing and she's like, what are you doing, Daddy? What are you doing? She's like acting like he's a little kid of a breaker toy. They just, don't play with my toys. Don't play with my toys. You'll break them, Daddy. You're supposed to squat on it.
My vibrator squatter.
A man with shot knees and a shot back, and this thing's vibrating at a rapid speed, and he has, like, maybe a foot across to stand on it. How's he supposed to do a squat on that?
Well, his wife sure showed him.
No, she couldn't do a squat either. She specifically said, I can't do a squat in it. It's too hard.
Yeah, it was gross. It was a gross scene. I loved it. It was so good.
And then the thing with her neck, she went in the Anvil to pop her neck, and then she, like, freaked out and tried to run away while he had her in this grip.
Yeah. What
was that? Turned her head when she tried to run. She could have broke her neck. It wouldn't have been on the Anvil. It would have been on her.
What was that?
Like, twist my neck. And then she's like, I'm going to run away, though. And then she takes off on him. He could have easily just snapped her neck just because he's 350 pounds and massively strong. And his daughter's an idiot.
Big time idiot. And I just like him. I just like him riding. Just squat. Squat on it, Daddy. So gross. Oh, it was so gross. Now, anything else you hated about Natty that we have missed? That I just want to say about this whole... Let me just say something real quick about this whole name thing. Like, I recognize it's a somewhat antiquated system, but I still find it disrespectful for a woman not to take their husband's last name. I don't know why. I don't have a good answer for it. There's not a good reason for it, but it just seems a little disrespectful. And to have these people telling her, oh, make him take your last name. You're more famous. They already call him Natty's husband. Yeah, they're mocking him. I don't know. I don't like it.
They were, but as we pointed out, she already took his last name. She'd
mm-hmm.
used his last name in multiple episodes. She said, I'm Natty Neidhart Wilson. That's Mrs. Wilson to you when they got married.
And let's not forget,
she already claimed the last name.
Look at what the Neidhart name is, though. It's fucking Jim the Anvil Neidhart, pilled out, roaming around on fucking vibrating machines, moving water out of a refrigerator with his bare hand. It's his fucking crazy old wife going, that's the tiger mask. I got it at the flea market. It's their fucking other daughter trying to get a gold hog slobbing with Big E. I mean, is the Neidhart name really something that should continue on?
I think she tries to equate Neidhart to being part of the Hart lineage, like it's...
Yeah, like, she does.
Right, and then Hart, and they emphasize the Hart part. He's not a Hart.
No. He's a Neidhart. He's a Neidhart. Makes me. It's me.
When she started talking in her talking head segment, she put over the Harts.
Yeah.
But I was part of the Hart dynasty, and Bret Hart's
like,
my uncle, and this and that. I'm like, well, it's got nothing to do with Neidhart.
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing to do at all. Ellie. It's me, Ellie. Good Lord. All right, but what else did you have to say about Natty? You had something you wanted to say.
When the Bellas are going out, and Renee Young is doing this masterful job of recreating their entrance, Natty just doesn't know what to do. She starts caterwauling, butchering the song, and it's like, oh, they do the twist. And she can't do the twist yet. Doesn't know how to do the little Bella twist that they do in the entrance.
No.
Makes it very awkward. She already butchered the Usos' entrance a few episodes ago. Now, Butcher and the Bella's entrance.
There's nothing that Natty cannot butcher. I'll give her credit for that.
I bet she couldn't butcher a hog.
Possibly. I'm not sure. Now let's talk about someone else that I hated. I'm really going to go outside my comfort zone with this one. I just didn't care for Brie Bella.
Really?
I know. This fucking piece of shit. Her wonderful husband sends her this beautiful bouquet of flowers with this just heart-wrenching note that just has everyone around just gushing with love, like, oh, that's amazing. Oh, what do you do for Brian? And Brie and Mitch, she never does anything for her fucking husband ever. And they're all shocked that this woman that they all know so well, Brie Bella, that she would never do something nice for someone? Huh. That seems so out of her elements. Seems so out of the ordinary for Brie Bella. So, we get to her finally getting home to Daniel, you know. They're having a little relaxing time in their bed. He's made these cute little shirts with hearts, because what the fuck else does he have to do except work in a sweatshop these days? So, so he's been slaving away. And she's like, they just, they think I'm not romantic, Daniel. And then he just starts dying laughing, like, ah, you're not. You're the worst, he basically tells her. What did you get me for our wedding? Oh, I got you an IOU for this. What did you get me for my birthday? Oh, I got you an IOQ for this barbecue gimmick. Oh, what did you get me for this? Oh, I gave you another IOU. Oh, well, what about this? Yeah, well, I'm going to get it for you. Yeah, I haven't left. And then he laughs as if it's just some funny joke. And then she's like, well, you know, I get real romantic in the bedroom. And then he just starts laughing at her again. He's like, no, you don't. You chug down a gallon of wine and just hop that dry, wretched gash hole onto me. Oh, I'm trying to light candles and set a mood. You're just thrusting. You're not romantic. Got him fuck off for his birthday. She got him fuck off for his wedding. Got him fuck off for their anniversary. She just thinks her just slamming her, I'm a certain, bone dry. never mind. So, in order to solve this problem of her being unromantic, she lets her sister set up a fucking romantic date for her with her husband. And this romantic date involves a stretch Hummer limo. It involves fancy suits. It involves probably $500 meals. It involves everything Daniel Bryan would never, ever like in his life. So again, he goes in his brain, boy, my wife is not fucking romantic at all. What do you think about this so far, Slaying Guy? Before we get to our actual romantic part, let's talk about this. What do you think?
I thought it was horrible that they're like, oh, so what do you get Brian? And she said, oh, well, nothing. And he's like, oh, but I get birthday stuff. And when they're alone, they established,
mm-hmm.
No, she didn't. She got the wrong thing, so he essentially had nothing. And months after the birthday, she had not replaced it. So basically, he got nothing on the birthday, even though she was putting over to everyone in the catering. Oh, I get him his birthday gifts every year.
Duh.
Knowing she had not.
And when we finally get to it, she finally says, all right, I need to think about what my man wants. I need to really spoil him and pamper him because he deserves it. And what she gets him is a rented fucking car. A rented fucking car. And then in the GPS on it, it guides him to this fucking place where he gets to open up a gift. That's a fucking koala monkey fucking statue thing. Her idea of romance was, here's a car I rented that you have to pay for, and I got you a koala monkey statue. Was it a koala or was it a monkey? Which
one? It was definitely a koala.
But why?
Why was it a koala? Because that's what they carved.
But why? For him? For a thing?
Oh, they established that. She said that he calls her his koala, and so she got that to represent herself so he could put it on a desk or something and say, oh, yeah, I call Bree my koala.
Even though it looks like a fucking monkey.
It looked like a koala. I don't know why the guy said that.
It looked like a piece of shit that she fucking got when she was at her fucking farmer's market. Said, hey, if I trade you one of my Brie boxes, can I have that fucking koala monkey? Oh, I got fucking hiccups now. Out of rage. I got rage hiccups.
It was definitely a koala. Not a monkey-looking thing at all, but I bet she didn't pay more than $5 for it.
But it's the thought that counts, right?
Probably for Brian, because Brian just didn't care at that point. He knew she was never going to get him a real gift.
So who'd you hate? Who else?
I had Brie Bella at my number two.
Okay, you had her.
Moving along, I had number three, I had Paige.
Oh, yeah, I had her, too. I had her, too.
Now, Paige's episode, continuing for the, fourth episode in a row, she doesn't want to be engaged to Kevin. Wants nothing to do with him, doesn't want to be around him, but doesn't want to break up with him because she gets to live rent-free in his house. So she's like, I still want him to be my boyfriend, but I don't want him in my life.
Uh-huh.
And she flew Kevin to wherever they were doing TV. I forget which taping it was. Might have been a pay-per-view even. And he's sitting there just feeling awkward as could be as Paige has her back to him, getting her hair and makeup done. And Kevin's like, yeah, I feel awkward here. And she's like, oh, good. And when he picks her up, she's like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, nothing's wrong with me. And he still feels awkward, like, okay, this broad doesn't want to be engaged. Said yes, accepted the ring, knowing she didn't want to be engaged. Lives in my house rent-free, but she runs off to Foxy's place for however many days on end. Doesn't come home, doesn't say when she's coming home. But Paige is like, oh, I can still be your girlfriend and I'll just date other people and not ever come home to you unless it's convenient for me. That's close enough, isn't it?
And the most annoying part was this nitwit tells Kevin, her fiance, that she
wants to... No, they ended the engagement.
Right, right. But I'm saying it was her fiance. She tells him that she no longer wants to be engaged to him. And then she's shocked when things just aren't how they used to be. She says, I still get it, why things aren't like they used to be. She legit states her dismay that things now are different. What a fucking loon.
And says that they argue now. Well, maybe if she would have gone home instead of just going to Foxy's or whatever and, like, hiding from him.
Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't feel the need to argue, or maybe if she kicked in a little bit of rent.
Mm-hmm.
Something. And she's like, well, I don't want your ring. You can take that and get out of your house when my mother comes to visit. Just... beat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe things like that. You wouldn't feel the need to argue with her. Rather than saying, oh, you want me to leave my own home for an undetermined amount of time while your mother's here? Sure, I'll just sleep in the streets. She might never ever call him to come home again. She might just take over the house. He'd be paying the mortgage while he's living in the streets.
This poor fella might just be left out in the middle of nowhere, you know? His life could be near over.
Yes.
This poor fella.
Later in the episode, what really made me irate with Paige, her and Foxy had grabbed flowers from somewhere. Some of the people thought they were from catering, which I suspect they probably were. And they just start throwing these flowers at each other. And they wreck these flowers that probably cost $15 to $20 per plant. And they just start smashing them for literally no reason whatsoever. And then they're like, oh, look at that huge mess we created. And they just walked off.
Yeah.
Destroyed company property, because if they did come from catering, the company basically paid for them.
Yeah.
And they just destroyed it and walked on like, some other guy will have to clean up our mess because we destroyed those plants, and they just walk off laughing.
Yeah.
She didn't care that someone had to come behind her and clean up the mess. She didn't care that there were tables missing centerpieces.
No. They just do what they want. Just, we'll throw these flowers around, and we'll just have the best time. Infuriating. Now, I have one last hate here. Mark goddamn Carano. Oh, I hated Mark Carano. This fucking guy's deal was telling this pregnant woman that she was just too fat and pregnant to be on TV. His way of doing this was the idea that, oh, physicality happens. It's dangerous backstage. The interviewers, you never know what's going to happen in this completely scripted show where we do know what can happen. You write what happens. You can write, hey, don't hit the pregnant interviewer. Because let's think about it. Have you ever seen JoJo attacked backstage while interviewing?
No.
Have you ever seen Renee Young attacked backstage while interviewing?
I wouldn't say attacked.
So guess what? You can easily write in your stupid fucking storylines, hey, let's not attack the pregnant ass bitch. Let's leave her alone, how about? So that was bullshit. And then, when she finally got her chance to do her little interview segment, I thought she was amazing. I thought she was really good. She seemed better than almost anyone they have doing interviews. Very personable, very genuine, very believable. So I'm sure they hated it.
Now, to be fair, Carano was probably afraid, you know, if there was something that happened and she slipped and fell trying to get out of someone's way or whatever, a potential lawsuit there, so he was probably thinking more corporate legal terms as opposed to, hey, just tell people don't fight around her. Is probably a legal thing since they are a corporate entity. I see where you're coming from.
That's not what he said.
I know that's not what he said, but I have to think that was going through his mind.
Well, I did not like it. Anyone else you hated?
We hit my three.
All right. Well, who'd you like?
Number three, I had Ellie Neidhart.
Yeah, she's always a delight.
Now, she's, to start, watching Anvil on this, I guess it was an exercise machine, but they never really said what it was. You were supposed to do a squat on it for some reason. It made no sense why you would do a squat on this vibrating thing with a rubber band across it.
It did not.
But she's like, I'll try it, Daddy. Eh. And then she realized pretty quickly, I can't do a squat, Nat. Too hard, eh? She just gave up. She's like, she knew she could stand there. Knew she couldn't squat while this thing's trying to throw her off of it. And then later, when they go to lunch, when Natty's like, oh yeah, I think TJ should take the Neidhart name and this and that, Ellie knew better. Ellie knew Well, this is going to cause tension. But Ellie also knew she took the name 3 years ago when they first got married. Why is this an issue at all? She didn't say that. She didn't slap Natty and say, hey, do you remember 3 years ago when you changed your name? She just let it go. Didn't want to rock the boat any more than it was rocking.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a nice lady. Well, for me, one of my persons of likes that I liked would be Daniel Bryan, just for his complete hatred of his wife, basically. He called himself, I look like a hobbit wearing a suit. That was funny. And, he's just so negative about his wife's shitty attempt of trying to do something romantic, and I liked it because she's the worst. So, Daniel Bryan, you did it. Any thoughts on D-Bry?
I wasn't a huge fan this week of him.
Mm.
Now, my main contention was Nikki set this date up, and she designed the date for what she would want to do, not taking into account what Bree and Brian would want to do.
Yes.
But even though Bree went to the trouble of having it all arranged so they could go on a fancy Dan date, and she could try to make up not showing any interest in him, all he's concerned about is the gas mileage of the vehicle they're in. He's like, what is this? And he's like trying to calculate, well, this must take a lot of gasoline. He wasn't paying for the gasoline. The thing was already rented. They weren't saying you need to pay us the rental fee plus pay for the gasoline. But that's all he was concerned of. As he's drinking his sparkling cider, because he's a non-drinker, so you know it was sparkling cider, not champagne. But he's like, what is this? And he's all concerned with the environmental friendliness of the vehicle they're riding in for probably a mile or two, I bet. It was just mind-blowing. I'm like, well, just, you know, maybe ride in the thing or say something before you get in and say, I'd rather not be in a stretch limo. Little perplexing. Plus, he did the one thing that I absolutely hate any time. You know what that is, don't you?
Calling something fake?
No.
What?
He let that dog lick his nose again.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting on the bed with that dog's tongue up his nostril repeatedly.
What is wrong with these people?
Over and over and over again. That dog's tongue up his nostril and out. Up his nostril and out.
Ugh. Wretched. Ugh.
But yet he's always concerned. Oh, I have to know every ingredient that goes into my body or onto my body. Every little ingredient I have to read and know about.
But that fucking
dog's tongue is fine to go up into his nose.
That dog spends all day licking its puss. He's fucking with dog puss getting licked up his nose. But you know, heaven forbid he doesn't have his Oco water bottle filter and drink just a little bit of unfiltered water. But dog puss, he's great with dog puss.
And you liked him this episode.
I always like him. Who else do you like?
Number two, I had Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, very, very, very small role, so yes.
Now, Titus walking by in the catering room, and they call him over, and they ask his opinion on if TJ should take the name of Neidhart and become TJ Neidhart. So Titus ponders this, and he comes up with a logical solution. He says, well, They already call him Natty's husband.
Yep.
And then he wants to remind everyone of all the Anvil's gimmicks. So he looks at them and he says, "Neidhart, who?" Because he was, 1996.
Neidhart,
and he didn't
who?
Even mind in flashback that they completely ignored poor Harry Smith. As they flash back, and Natty says, "Oh, well, when we first started, we were the Hart Dynasty." And I say, "There's Natalya and the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Champions, Tyson Kidd." And they just cut it off. Like Harry was never part of it. Tyson Kidd alone was the tag team champion in their flashback. That's not how it was.
And now one is still tearing it up in Japan. And one is stuck at home with Natalya Neidhart. So who won this round?
I'm thinking Harry.
I'm thinking so too. Oh, brother. You know, and I like TJ too, because he just is, you know, refusing to take Natty's last name because he's just thinking, imagine being a fucking Neidhart. There's nothing worse on God's green earth than being stuck as a Neidhart. So, good for him.
Now,
good for him.
Do you think that the whole Neidhart thing was Natty's way of phasing him out of his own family? Because we've established she hates TJ's family with a passion. When they got married, TJ's own mother was in like the seventh row. Dean Malenko had better seats at TJ's wedding than TJ's own mother.
This is very possible.
Natty's already gone on record as saying she can't stand her. Whenever TJ went to visit his mother, Natty throws this huge fit. How dare you want to see that woman that I hate? It's his own mother. So I think maybe it's her way of just phasing him out of that family, like that family doesn't even exist.
It's very probable. She is quite horrible. So, it's quite probable. You know, I would have no surprise with this at all. That's pretty much that. Anything else?
I think that's all on TJ. I wasn't a huge fan of TJ because he seemed, even though he denied being hostile, he seemed pretty hostile. He could have just said, "I'd rather not change my name besides you changed your name 3 years ago." But instead, he's all like, "Won't do it. Refuse to listen to you." And just he's angry about it. Like, well, she took your last name. We established it. And if someone, and I'm not going to throw Rex under the bus, would have sent me the name of the episode where she checked into the hotel this season using the name Wilson, we could have squelched the whole thing.
Yeah, we could have. If only we could have. Huh.
Because she was like, Natty Wilson. And they check her in. And then Bree's like, Brianna Danielson. And then she checks in. And it's like, Nicole Garcia Colas for her. I remember that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
You just said that you did.
I don't know. Anything else? Did we get through
not
this
on
episode?
Them. Well, I have my number one liked.
Oh, okay.
leaps and bounds above everyone else on this episode, except maybe the Big Show, who I didn't put on my list, but was very likable, Renee Young.
Okay.
Now, Renee Young's backstage, and she's like, huh, Nikki Bella coming out for her last night as a champion here at Night at Champions. I'll just reenact her entrance with Natty here. So she does this beautiful rendition of the Bella's theme song. You could look, but you couldn't touch.
You couldn't.
She kept dreaming of the stars above.
Oh,
and then
the
she went
dreams.
To do the little twist and the hip bump with Natty. Natty screwed it all up. But Renee kept doing the thing right. She had her part down solid, because she pays attention to the product. She's like, I know how this entrance works because I watch it.
You keep dreaming of the stars above. Oh, Renee. Man.
And then Renee was spot on when she's walking by and Paige and Foxy are carrying those plants. She looks over and she's like, did you get those from catering? She recognized the centerpieces. She knew from where they got them.
She knew from whence they came. That is assuredly true. This was not a good episode.
Even with the Big Show and Rose's tender moment?
No, this was not a good episode. It was quite boring. Maybe I'm just bored by all of them these days. But, man, there was nothing for me to really get worked up and mad about. And if there's nothing for me to get mad about, what's the point?
You could like something.
Liking stuff is for posers and babies. I don't know. So what's going on with you, sign guy? What's going on? What do you got happening?
Well, Friday we're kicking off WCW month on Sign Guy's Wrestling Show. All WCW alumni this week. We're starting with Bob Cook, the man with the big right-handed punch that Jim Ross put over week after week after week on WCW Saturday night. Then on Sunday on Turnbuckle Turmoil, after an extremely long absence from Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have Dylan Bostick returning.
Dylan Bostick, eh?
Yes, Dylan Bostick, who once was 18 years old for 15 years.
Yeah, interesting. Well, it's good to hear that he's still doing well. Anything else going on?
Yeah, I think that does it.
Razor Ramones, we're starting back up this weekend. We had our long winter's nap, and this weekend we return. We got a new song we're writing called Cerro Miedo. It's about this guy who has no fear. We got a song about the social class. We might bring back the song With a Broken Freaking Neck. A lot of changes in the work. We're booked for Louisville already. Probably going to be booked in Dayton, perhaps at Rockstar Pro Wrestling soon. Time to make the moves, brother. Time to do it. Time to bring it back to life. Time to awake the mighty Kong, you know?
Did you know that Rockstar Pro is one of Kevin Sullivan's very favorite independent wrestling companies?
Is it now?
Yes, he put that company over huge in a pre-show meeting in Washington State. He went on for like 5 minutes talking about how great Rockstar Pro was.
I'm looking at, I'm trying to come up with a song about Kevin Sullivan. I know we have I Don't Want to Go Down to the Dungeon of Doom, but that's not necessarily about him. I want it to be about him as a Satanist. And then I'd like to, like, make a shirt design logo that has, like, a giant pentagram with his face on it.
I see.
Yeah. It's an idea I have. We'll see if it happens. Because he is the literal Satan, I've learned from watching some of those early episodes of, you know, Florida and early NWA and such. They let me know. Between his slave girls and everything, he's actually Satan. Did you know that?
Well, he never literally said that.
Oh, but the announcers did.
Yeah, the announcers always implied heavily, but he never personally said that.
Well, the smartest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. So, I'm going to say that he's actually the personification of Satan.
Alright.
Can you ask him next time?
Did you get your t-shirt yet? From which we spoke of last week.
What would that be?
The Black Craft Cult shirts.
Oh, no. I didn't buy any of those. No. I don't want to fund that horrible baby. But
the one named after Harold Miner.
Yes. Yes, Baby Jordan. We should, though, toss this actual Kevin Sullivan as Satan shirt to them. Perhaps they could work out some deal, pro wrestling tee style, sell this shirt, and everyone could profit.
Perhaps. Maybe I can mention it to him the next time we're in a ring together.
Okay, and I'll mention it to Baby Jordan.
All right. Is that baby actually born yet?
Yeah, it is. Because remember, I saw the pictures on the Instagram of him, of that guy cuddling it on his like blankets of pentagrams and devil's horns.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's born in real life. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, that'll do it. Sweet dreams, everybody. We love you. Here at Total Dudes, Sun Guy Rex. Later. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex. It's time. Welcome to Bye.